Let's welcome Phil Dione.
Thank you. Well, of course, I was nervous, doing a sermon. And so I thought, well, I better sit up front because that's what people do when they do give a sermon, sit up front. And I literally sat on my wife's cup of coffee. The back of my pants are soaked right now. So I lean over to Russ and I go, dude, what do I do? And he goes, listen, you go in the bathroom and just stuff the back of your pants with paper towels. So nothing, where do I go from here? Very cool gift, if you haven't looked at it. Probably one of the coolest Father's Day gift we've gotten in years, guys. Awesome, thank you. Listen, it is written into the heart of every child to want the approval, the acceptance of their dad. And that's because I believe God created fatherhood to be the authority figure in kids' lives so that we can have a profound, profound impact on them in a way that nobody else can, but just as a dad. And what's amazing to me is that authority is given to us. We don't have to earn it from our kids. It's given to us. All we can do is lose that authority to have an impact in our kids' lives. So I thought I'd just take a couple minutes at the beginning of this sermon, just speak to dads about what I thought was important to keeping that place in your kids' lives, having that impact on your kids' lives. And so I'll just give you my top four. And you can do with them what you want. But number one, I believe, is being a good provider. I'm not talking about being a workaholic or being a millionaire or anything like that, but I'm just talking about getting up every day and going to work and working hard, okay? I think what's most important to your child and really to your family is that you bring stability financially to that house. That you provide what's reasonable to them. And listen, I believe that's your top priority. And God has some really harsh words, probably some of the harshest words I've ever heard spoken about when you don't do that. It's in 1 Timothy 5:8, and I'll just paraphrase it for you. It says, if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel, an unbeliever, okay? So, listen, don't go parading around that your Christianity if your family is not being provided for, all right? Number one priority. And I believe that in itself will give you the respect and let you hold your place with that authority figure in your kids' and family's life. Number two, be a good protector. And I'm not talking about not having fun with your kids, okay? Because I still think it's a really cool idea to jump off the roof onto the trampoline and be launched into the pool, okay? That's what I'm talking about. That's a mom's protection, all right? And guys don't have that. And moms have it so that we're all still alive in this room, all right? So I'm talking about a different kind of protection. I'm talking about your family having the confidence to know no matter what storm comes in your family's life, how bad it is, that dad is the anchor that's going to keep the family together. That's the protection I'm talking about, that you're the anchor. And it's also the confidence that you give your kids to reach for goals, to go for that dream, because they're sure that if they struggle or need support, that dad's there. That's the protector I'm talking about. Number three would be give affirmation. Dads, we struggle with, and I think it's just because we want the best for our kids, but it comes across in a way that's easy to misinterpret. So we focus on the negative, tend to focus on the negative dads. And I just want to encourage you, focus on the positives. Find things that your kids are doing right. Catch them doing something good and tell them that's awesome, that you're doing a great job, because that's what they need to hear, okay? And I'm not talking about condoning bad behavior, because I know dads, we really struggle with that concept. How do I affirm somebody who's doing something I don't approve of, all right? Well, kind of get over that. Find something that they're doing right and affirm that. And guess what will happen? You will have tremendous impact in their life, all right? And my number four would be give affection. Be affectionate. Close that gap. Lean in. It's uncomfortable, I know, for some dads. But man, get over that. Your kids need hugged on, loved on all the time. And they need that from their dad. And you want to have influence on your kid's life, you want to keep that place of authority, close that gap, lean in. And especially when there's contention between you and your kids. I could have some pretty intense conversations with my daughters, okay? And after that conversation happens, and I go, okay, we see eye to eye now, we're all good. We're good? We're good. We're good. Okay. And I'm about to walk away, and I get the eyeball from my wife. She's like, what's that? Like right now? So I'll go in, and you get this. You know what I'm talking about? Go through that. Press through that. Hug on them. And next thing you know, you'll get this. Right? Okay. So those are my top four. All right. So I'm going to transition now, talk to the rest of us who aren't dads. And this is about understanding the heart of a father. Because for the rest of you, you're like, whoa, that don't make sense. And we get that. So I'm going to try and hone in on that and help you understand the heart of a father a little bit, all right? So I got no slides. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to read a very, very familiar set of scriptures. And I'm going to read it to you, and you're going to go, what's that have to do with Father's Day? Well, hang with me, and I'll explain that to you. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm just going to read the first couple verses for you. So I'm going to give you a minute to get there, and I'm going to drink a quick swig of water here. And my pants are feeling a little more drier right now. Okay, Mark. All right, so chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So I got to be real candid with you guys. I've read that verse for 30 years, and I've completely misunderstood it for most of that 30 years. Probably the last four or five is when I think my eyes got to open up to what God was trying to say, or really Paul was trying to tell us about God's heart. And so when I read this, you want to know what I heard? This is what I heard. I heard, it's not good enough to just speak in tongues and have faith to move mountains and give all your money away and give your body be burned unless you do it with love. Is it kind of easy to see it that way? That's how I saw it all the time. And that gave me this warped perception of who God was. I just thought that was a little harsh, a little overbearing. You know, can you kind of relate to that? With, you know, I think personally, our relationship with our Father God has a lot to do with how we relate to our earthly father. And so this was kind of true in my case. I just perceived God as, are you kidding me? Not only do I have to give him all my money away, just do it with love. It's not what Paul's saying. What he's saying is, what's most important to God, our Father God, is that we love and care about the people he's brought into our lives, and that it's more important to him about relationships than it is about what we do for him in ministry, or how much money we give away, or how much sacrifice we do for him. What's most important to God is relationships. This is falling off my head here. Okay. So, how do I know that's true? How do I know that's true? You want to know why I know that's true? Because he's put into my heart the heart of a father. It's the exact same way I feel about my kids. Listen, I love my kids. I am so proud of my kids. They are freaking awesome. Okay? They come to me and go, Dad, look, I got straight A's. I never got straight A's. That's crazy. You know, or Dad, I'm doing this for God in ministry, or I'm taking a group of teens down to serve in Cincinnati, or I'm going to school to be a nurse so that I can serve Jesus in a more profound way. And as a dad, listen, that makes me proud and I appreciate it. But you know what makes me happiest as a dad? Is when my kids love and care about each other. That's what brings me the most joy, is when I see one of my daughters helping another one of my daughters who's struggling, reaching and grabbing her and pulling her, you can do this. It just makes me weep inside with just admiration and joy. But you know what else? You know what breaks my heart the most? Is when there's anger and contention between my kids. When there's unforgiveness between my daughters. It breaks my heart as a dad. And I'm here to tell you, that's how God feels about you. Okay? So he appreciates all that you're doing for him. All these things you're doing for him. He's proud of what you've accomplished for his kingdom and the sacrifices you've made. But you want to know what makes God the happiest? Is that you heal broken relationships with the people that he's brought into your life. Your family members. Your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife. Your kids. Your sister or brother. You want to make God really happy? Heal that relationship. That's what that's about. So, my misperception of God and his heart, for most of my life, I tried to do stuff for Jesus. And Mark alluded to one. But listen, everything I did, I was trying to figure, you know, this is crazy, but most of my Christian life, I was constantly trying to figure out, what has God called me to do? Where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? Focusing on that. And so I, you know, went to school to be a paramedic so I can work in a mission field. And then I smuggled some Bibles into Russia. And then I got into business so that I can try and really fund the kingdom of God. But the whole time with my relationship with God, I spent going, God, what are you calling me to do? Where am I supposed to be? Can anybody relate to that? Wondering what God's call is on your life? I just hired a salesperson from Cincinnati. She's 45, just really wonderful person. And I remember having a conversation going, hey, do you want to, why do you want to join our team? And she goes, well, I like your company and all, but she goes, I'm just trying to figure out if this is where God's calling me to be. She goes, Maho, I don't know what I'm supposed to be. Let me help you out. If you love Jesus, if that's your heart, that you want to please your dad, then you're right where you're supposed to be. That little desire he's put in your heart, that's where you're supposed to be, because those are the people he wants you to be around, to connect with, to have those relationships with. Listen, young people, I know you just got back from Cincinnati. And if you were like me, you spent most of the time on the ground, God, tell me what to do, you know? And listen, don't worry about it. He will continue to move you around where you're supposed to be, to do what you're supposed to do, because what he most cares about is what? Is relationships. Relationships. So, with that, I'm going to read, there's a scripture. It's Matthew 5:24. Just swing over there if you can. Matthew 5:24. I need you to read this with me, because it's another scripture I've read 1,000 times. But now when you have this understanding of God's true heart, this makes sense to me now. It says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. It doesn't say God doesn't appreciate it. I'm sure he does. But he says, leave your gift there and first be what? Reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. All right? So, in closing, I know this is a big ask. And that's because nothing wounds more than the wounds of a family member. I get that. All right? But I just want to read Paul's definition of what love is. And I just want you to consider the possibility of putting some of this into action with that relationship. All right, so it's the next few verses of 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is 4, 5, 6, and 7. Love suffers long. Okay? What it's saying there is you can take it. All right? You can take the hurt of what's going on there. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love doesn't, you don't have to prove that you're right. Okay? Just love. It does not behave rudely. That means you can regulate yourself. It does not speak its own. It's not easily provoked. Listen, I get it. People say and do things that hit your buttons. It thinks no evil. So what it's saying is there is that you think positively first. You know how many times we have contention with family members? It's because we tend not to think of them positively first. We tend to think that the negative is happening. A lot of times that's not correct. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Love endures all things. So that's my message today. Understanding the heart of your Father God, and then understanding how that translates to our relationship with each other. All right, so let's pray. Father God, I know your heart is for us to be reconciled. I know that's what pleases you the most. I know that's what brings you most joy. And Father God, I pray that we press in, that we lean in and work to bring that joy to you. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have the ushers come forward, and we're going to take our offering, and then we're going to do a few songs of worship, and then I'll come up and close the service out. And I had promised a few guys that one of the best Father's Day gifts I can give you is try and get you out of here in 59 minutes. We got meat to grill today, man. It's Father's Day. All right, let's pray for the offering. Father, I just thank you for the giving hearts.